Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for all that you give to us each and every day and for this life, a life which you have given to us that we might live and live to the full. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to seek you, that you would speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Hey, I want to start today with a quick pop quiz. Ready? Are you ready? Okay. When God created the heavens and the earth, God called it what? Good. Good. In fact, when God created dark and light, day and night, God called it what?
Good.
Go ahead and say it with conviction. When God separated the dry ground from the seas, God called it?
Good.
All right. Living plants and trees, God called it?
Good.
All the birds of the air, the fish of the water, and every living creature that walks or crawls or flies, even those gnats, God called it?
Good.
Finally, when God created male and female in the image of God, and when God saw all that he made, he called it?
Very good.
Oh, I thought I'd catch more people. God called it very good. Very good. Now it says God blessed the man and the woman and gave them three things to do. Three very important things to do. Do you remember what they are? One, be fruitful and multiply. Two, fill the earth and subdue it. Three, rule over every living creature. It's in these things that God wants us to have life. But with life, there is great responsibility. It isn't do what you want and trash the place. No, it's not have the life you want, it's not to have a life that we want. It's the life that God wants us to have. And to thrive in that life and to care for the earth and to not junk it up and to rule over the earth. But this ruling that God wants us to do is not as if we are the owners of the earth. No, God alone is the creator and rules over all. God gives us the earth to care for as though we are the caretakers of the earth. Or stewards of the earth, all that God created. Stewards, not owner. Yet through time, people would stake their claims to land, fighting over it, dying for it. Finally, people would be able to have the opportunity to buy their own land outright, but it doesn't seem to be enough to have a place to call your own, a stake of land, to grow enough food to feed your family. No, it has never been enough for people. People continue to accumulate more than they need. And then there was the advent of credit. Credit allowed a person to at first simply buy land or a home, which most people could not buy outright. But then it was cars. And then credit card. And then the credit card was created and it was not called good. It was considered good, but I don't know that it's always that way. We can now buy almost anything on a credit card, knowing that we are good for the money, right? But often most people, innocently enough, overextend themselves to where they're living paycheck to paycheck. Each check is necessary, listen, to pay for items purchased on credit years ago. Some of that stuff that we bought, we no longer have, but we're still paying on it. We no longer work to supply our needs. We work to pay off accumulated debt. Debt in some cases, like I said, that has been carried on for years. Instead of us owning money, money or credit owns us. And then there's this. Instead of being good stewards or caretakers of what God has given us, most people see what they have is theirs. Hey, this is mine. not God's. And the mindset is to buy more and more, whether we really need it or not. And what has happened is that we are no longer living lives with freedom. We're living lives that are obligated to the upkeep of all that we have purchased. We're living lives and for the purpose of paying down the debt that is owed for the things that we've got. Did you know what the average credit card debt for all people in America is? $28,000 from the very young to the very old. The average debt. And this doesn't include homes or vehicles. What has happened? Instead of being caretakers, we have become enslaved. Enslaved to our things. Enslaved to our debt. Enslaved to trying to accumulate even more. I don't think this is what God had in mind for people who follow Jesus or for people in general. But then we're not the first, are we? Going back to the Egyptian kingdoms, the pharaohs constructed huge burial chambers, and surrounded themselves with their gold, their possessions, and yes, even their slaves, thinking that it would follow them into the next world. But Jesus spoke a lot about money and possessions and tells this parable of a man who had more than enough, and when his barns were overflowing, he said, instead of giving it away, I will build bigger barns and store it in there. Instead of giving away what was truly excess, he wanted to keep it all. Instead of being a caretaker, he was a consumer. In this story, Jesus says of this man that he was not rich. Understand this, that he was not rich toward God. Rich toward God. To be rich toward God would require us to go back to what God originally wanted us to do, to be caretakers or stewards of what God has given to us. And when we are not, then we become slaves. We become in bondage to all we possess, and we are not rich toward God. Paul says it this way, read it with me. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now understand, Paul was talking to a church that had become enslaved. Not to money, but following the law, the rules of men instead of following Christ. But slavery is slavery in whatever forms they present themselves. Unforgiveness is a form of bondage. Pride can be a form of bondage. Really, anything we do over and over and over again, which doesn't put Christ first, ends up enslaving us. Jesus has set us free for the express purpose that we might live, that we might be free, that we might live a life that is really life. And what is living a life that is really life? Paul goes on to write this. Read it with me. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. This is a life that leads to real life. A life that looks out for the needs of others. A life that seeks to help others. To know the unending grace of God. To know the wonderful mercy of God. To know proper, the never-ending and unconditional love of God as God's love, unconditional love, flows through us. We don't hoard that. If we hoard it, we can only take in so much. But imagine being a spout where God's unconditional love pours into you. And God said He'll always pour it into us until we're full. And having a spout where God's love, as it flows into us, as soon as it flows into us, flows out to others around us. Imagine, that is life, really living life. I like how Paul goes on to describe what life is like that is not really life. It is a life of self-indulgences where you have the right to be right all the time. Where your way is the only way. Where you love only people who are somehow able to pay you back love. Where people will bite and devour one another. This is not the life that Jesus Christ died so that you might have. Is it? Paul says it this way. Read it with me. You were called to be free. Serve one another humbly in love. And he goes on to say this. Walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. It's something we choose to do. And do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, it's something we choose not to do. And then he explains, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You see, Paul shows us that there are two contrasting ways to live our lives. One is to gratify the desires of the flesh, to live for ourselves, and the other is to walk by the Spirit of God who knows our every need and satisfies our every desire. So if you seek yourself, or if you see yourself only seeking your needs, no, that's not what God wants for you. That's not how God wants you to live. Not just do it. God wants you to experience life, not just to do it, but to experience it, to grow into it, to not be enslaved, but to be free. Living free to give your life away as God showed us how through His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a choice to either serve God or serve ourselves, to be caretakers or hoarders, to live with our hands clutching what we cannot take with us anyway, or to live with hands open in a life of love and generosity. A pastor said that he was asked to do a funeral for a son's father, and the son said that his dad had been pretty difficult. He had lived a life that was very selfish, and before he died, he changed his will so that none of his kids would get any of his money. You see, the pursuit of money has a way of pushing love out the door. It causes us to become selfish, self-seeking, and stingy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to have that kind of funeral. I don't want to have people leaving me in the casket with this thought of what a stingy guy he was. No matter what the pastor says. No matter all the platitudes that are given. It's what people go out thinking. Well, they think, man, they really lived life. They really loved well. They were generous with all they had. And they gave the glory to God. Boy, that's what I would want someone to say when my body is laying cold in a casket and they're leaving to go have lunch. Now, for some of us and for others we know, we are overextended. We're weary. We're tired. The burden is heavy. Jesus says in Matthew 11 this. Read it with me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, Jesus is the way. And Jesus will help you. Give up trying to find satisfaction in money and in possessions. Take on Jesus' yoke. A yoke of service, a yoke of love for others. And you will find rest for your souls. It begins by being a person who seeks to bless God and not themselves. Who understands that we are just passing through this life. A life given to us to be caretakers, not owners. So that we can be set free, especially from the money trap. Again, I want to be the person that blesses the Lord, knowing that all I have has been a gift from God to be freely shared with others. Don't you? Don't you want to be that person? And in doing so, God will then be able to give us a life that is truly life. Seek to bless the Lord. And know that God will lead you to that life of freedom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you and ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would continue to give to you all that we have, all that we are, all that we long to be. And God, that you would show us by the power of your Spirit how we can live and how we can gain this life, that is truly free. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.